This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
It's a Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast with Justin Labar, Jonathan Hood with you, and Justin. We got face-to-face Cody versus Roman at SmackDown in Milwaukee.
Yeah, because let's not forget, they have a match, too, at WrestleMania, so this is an important promo.
CM Punk is coming to Monday Night Raw. What can we expect?
Soap opera drama, and I can't wait.
Sibling rivalry between the Usos, Jimmy versus Jay at WrestleMania.
I'm looking forward to this. Not often you get brother versus brother on a big stage like this, but here we are.
Enjoy the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. So, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, my nape of the neck in the Midwest. Yeah, there it was, Justin Labar. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. They had their face-off on Friday on SmackDown. You saw it, right? What'd you think?
I saw it. Milwaukee. Look, I'm very invested in both. You know, I'm invested in Roman's title run. How could you not be if you've been any sort of a regular viewer? I'm invested in Cody. I'm part of that camp. But I got to say, while I'm invested in them, I don't know if it's because I've seen the match last year at Mania. I don't think it's that. I think it's as I watch them go back and forth and they have history. I like even the reference to the Rhodes brothers beating the Shield once upon a time. Mm-hmm. Love all of it, Jay Hood. But I can't lie to you. I want to see him versus The Rock first. And I guess that's fine because we're going to get that tag match on night one. So we got to have that before we can have Roman versus Cody, but as I'm watching this, it's for the first time as I'm seeing Cody and Roman just themselves after I've been seeing all of this back and forth with Dwayne. Mm-hmm. Rock and Cody's it's overshadowing right now in my mind. It is just overshadowing my attention span and my care. I cannot wait to see the Rock and Cody get physical beyond one-off slaps. That's what I am thirsting to see. Is that physicality? Because I feel there's so much heat and tension. I feel like Cody versus Roman's a little bit more like a formality at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the stipulation was no bloodline, no Cody crybabies or friends for Cody Rhodes, because they were not supposed to interrupt the proceedings in this face-off between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. It was good to see him in the ring with the verbal barbs going back and forth. But what that promo showed me is that The Rock and Cody Rhodes are outshining Roman Reigns from a promo standpoint. Just a promo standpoint. I want to talk to you about that, Justin, because Roman's style is pretty laid back for a person whose legacy and his title is on the line at WrestleMania. I mean, I didn't see the sense of urgency from Roman Reigns in that face off against Cody Rhodes, that face to face. I didn't see the sense of urgency from Roman Reigns. This isn't Clash of the Castle or Backlash. This is WrestleMania. And I understand that Roman Reigns has gone through, you know, some personality changes over the years where he became this dominant champion. And now he's this worried champion. He's always looking over his shoulder. Who's going to take my championship and who can I trust? But I felt like watching this particular promo on Friday night, he showed up and he was there, but I didn't feel like he had his best A game when it came to trying to promote this wrestling match. It was as if this is just another match for Roman Reigns, and it isn't. Look at the stakes. The stakes are right there and clearly defined that Cody Rhodes is trying to finish his story, trying to be the heavyweight champion, and Roman Reigns wants to extend his legacy. And what I saw was a guy that was just there and just kind of saying, hey, Cody, you're kind of dumb. You know, you're really dumb, right? I mean, that's your arsenal. That's what you have for Cody Rhodes. I mean, to the point where he looked washed, quite frankly, just the way he came across. I mean, because it's WrestleMania, everyone's stepping up. From the live event crew that won't be in the main event spot to the top of the card, everyone's stepping up. Everyone is giving a sense of urgency. It's like, you know, some of the storylines is, man, I got to find my way into WrestleMania. How can I be part of the showcase of immortals or whatever they say for the WWE? But for Roman, it's just kind of just out there, just kind of talking. And yeah, I want you to think about it. out of the four participants in that tag team match, Justin, whether it's The Rock, Cody, whether it's Roman or Seth, Roman seemingly is almost fourth. I mean, Seth yeah. Rollins is even though he's double minded, as Drew mentioned, he's like, yeah, you're distracted, man. You got this tag team match, and you've got this match against me. Take me seriously. That's what Drew McIntyre is saying to Seth Rollins. But when I see these four and I watch that promo, I'm like, Cody's about it. Cody understands the assignment. I want to be the heavyweight champion. And Roman's just kind of like, yeah, you're nothing. And you know that's not true. He's not nothing. So my biggest issue is that Roman is not into it the way I think he should be for this matchup. He seems fourth out of the four.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I definitely agree. He is, for a world champion who is, you know, making historic runs going into WrestleMania, he is not the prime focus. That is the case. That is a fact. You'd say how he kind of feels like he's laid back, kind of feels like, yeah, I think some of it's by design. I think some of it is within character design of like, okay, this guy's got to get through me and my cousin The Rock the night before. This guy, I've already beat him at WrestleMania. So like, I can understand from the character standpoint, Roman being a little laid back, being a little dismissive of Cody's ability to take his title. But I do agree with you that even if that was intentional, even if that's the creative pep talk he got from the wise man of how he should play this, I agree that when you hold it up right next to what we've been seeing of Cody and Rock and Seth out there, like, I mean, yeah, it does feel like Roman's just kind of just tired or doesn't care. Like, I mean, you're right. It does. When you hold it up together and look, you hold anything up to the energy that The Rock brings.
Yes.
You're it's going to be a tough day at work. Right. So I get that, but I agree. That's what I said. I mean, the juice that is there with Cody and Rock, I mean, it's bubbling. It's getting ready to boil over. Cody versus Roman just feels like a formality just because he happened to win the Rumble. Well, we got to do that thing. Maybe once we get through night one, however night one gets booked, maybe I will be more excited for Cody versus Roman. Mm-hmm. God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Given all the build. But yeah, when it's side by side, everything involving The Rock, and then like you said, even by extension to Seth Rollins, it's just overshadowing it's overshadowing the Tribal Chief.
We're talking about the Cody and Roman face-off from SmackDown right here on Busted Open. Jonathan and Justin with you on the Sunday edition of Busted Open. Yeah, and so, and again, the way this is booked, I'm thinking if you're Triple H, yes, it is for the Universal Championship. We will get Cody against Roman, but I don't know if it's by design that Rock is so strong that there are some like you that want to see Cody versus The Rock. I mean, those are the two holding up this whole thing. And that's not the match. The match is not between those two. And you are correct. When it comes to The Rock, this is who he is as a personality. He can do what he wants. He can say what he wants. And I think that's very clear. You've seen his social media. You've seen what he does on television. We're getting a PG-13 version of what he does on his own Twitter. It's just, obviously, it's dialed down. It's not the editor's cut of 21 minutes or 15 minutes. I mean, it's shaved down, but still, you get the point from The Rock. The Rock comes across as if he's going to be in the main event in a solo match against Cody Rhodes, and that's not the match. But for Roman Reigns, you're the Universal Champion.
Should be.
Well, you're the Universal Champion, Justin. I mean, you can't be fourth out of this four. You can't be the guy that's, as you mentioned, look a little tired, as if he's been on the road for 300 days. I can understand, like, oh man, I mean, he's making all the towns. He's a heavyweight champion. By God, look at him. I mean, he's been through the rigors. Look at that. Spokane here, and then he's in Tampa over there. He's like no. He has plenty of time to get refreshed. And he's got plenty of time to be able to step up on his promos as well. It's not like this is the heavyweight champion that's all over the country, all over the world, defending that championship. I expect more from Roman Reigns. I mean, you're the Universal Champion, so because it's WrestleMania now, you have to raise your bar. He looks like a promo in June. He does. No, I'm serious. Or a promo in September. That's what it looked like to me on Friday. I'm saying, hey man, I understand that you're the cool heel, because that's what the bloodline are. I mean, they get booed, but also they're the cool heels. We get that.
Yeah, everybody wants to throw the ones up.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. But at some point, where's the sense of urgency? Now, see, Justin, this is the old school bubbling up in me, because I understand tickets are sold and everyone's going to be watching Saturday and Sunday for WrestleMania. So, you know, they don't have to say anything. As a matter of fact, they could just say, like, you know what? We're moving this off of the platform. You know the match. Just be there and watch, or be there in Philadelphia. Don't worry about it. But to me, you still have to sell the fight. You still have to be able to take it up 5 or 10 notches. Even though tickets are sold and WrestleMania is already a success before they even hit the first bell, I still believe that you have to keep us engaged as fans. What does Roman think? Roman, oh, you're a dummy. You know, you're just not smart. You're stupid, Cody. I mean, that's what you got? That was not good on Friday. Was not.
Well, I mean, I wonder. We have 2 more episodes of Raw and 2 more episodes of SmackDown before WrestleMania's. What do they do? At this point, like, they seem pretty committed, and I'm fine with this commitment. They seem pretty committed to not let Rock and Cody touch beyond those one-off slaps they've each had, to not let them touch the bell rings. I'm fine with that, okay? Obviously, Roman's not going to be working any matches on TV between now and then. You know, I mean, both Cody and Roman did each toss out the putting in doubt of, can you trust your partner? Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's that element, which I like, by the way, because we're all thinking it. I think we're all expecting at least one team to implode. You know, whether it's The Rock turning on Roman or, you know, Seth goes rogue on Cody, whatever. So, I mean, I like that, but I just wonder with 4 episodes left of the 2 shows combined, what more could be done? I mean, and I guess the answer would be to you, where you and I stand at this would be, let's get Roman out there a few more times. So let's try to see if he can jack it up a little bit. If he can, you know, if he can bring me back to being, you know, again, invested in that match a little bit more so than I am at this current moment.
Hey, Roman, let's sit down for a second. Let's have a conversation. Is there a possibility when we send you out there that you could drum up some interest? Could you drum up some interest in WrestleMania for us, please? Since you're in the main event on night 2, is there a possibility that you could just maybe raise your voice a little more? Maybe just a little bottom line is a little
night
something.
2. You're in the main event of both nights. Could you
just drum up a little interest for us? I mean, why is it that he was more forceful with McAfee on his radio show than he was in the ring in Milwaukee? Did you see clips of that? I saw. Clips
I did.
Of that.
I watched the interview. You know what? That was an interesting watch, because that long form. Mm-hmm. I think it played better for him. I almost look at it. If you watch the McAfee interview that happened at, like, you know, 5-6 hours before SmackDown, it was very much a similar strategy to what we've been seeing with The Rock been doing, where it's like, here's the director's cut, 30 minutes of Roman, and then he's going to try to bring some of it pared down on SmackDown. You know, talking about, you know, he on McAfee, he called Cody a politician. On McAfee, yes. He put over the snap of the fingers and we can get things done, which is then what he also does, snaps the fingers and here comes the bloodline. The problem is the director's cut was way more interesting and the internet than what the version was that we got on SmackDown to our points here of the last 10 minutes. So I don't know. I'm not sure what that's about. I don't. Roman, I do agree. Roman, fourth. You're right. If you're fourth in this equation, not good.
No, it's not. It's just not. The breakdown that I have is I think that Cody and The Rock have stepped up big time to the point where you want to see those guys touch, that you want to see that match at some point. And I think that Seth Rollins, this whole thing with Seth and McIntyre, Seth and McIntyre, I think, is going to be an intriguing match. However, Seth seems double-minded, and even McIntyre brought it up in the promos that they had when they had their face-to-face. McIntyre's like, man, you got to focus on me, man. Like, this, what about the heavyweight championship? I want you at your best. I don't want you banged up at night one of WrestleMania, which is foreshadowing, by the way, because if anyone's going to take the pinfall, it's going to be Seth Rollins, and they're going to work on that knee. And so this could be McIntyre working on Seth, and it might be a quick match for the heavyweight championship because McIntyre may not get Seth at 100%. So I think that was even more intriguing than what Roman had to say on Friday night. And then from there, like, you know, Seth McIntyre telling Seth, hey, man, focus on what's going on here. And then what Seth had to say, I thought was very good. But then Roman comes in. I mean, it's fine, but I just know that there's more on the bone for Roman Reigns to really sell this and say, I know my cousin, I know The Rock is a big personality, but I'm still a Universal Champion. I'm still the Tribal Chief, but I want him to let everyone know, like, and make you feel like he's going to retain. I don't even feel like he's going to retain, like just based on Roman over the last few weeks. I don't know.
And that's why I use the word formality. It feels like a damn formality. It feels like we have to do it because, you know, the world champion has to defend against the person who wins the Rumble. Like that, like it just doesn't, you know. And again, I know that we saw it last year, and sometimes that can be a tough thing too. When you're repeating the same main event, it's like, all right, there's the easy card to play of, you know, from Roman's side, I've already beat you at WrestleMania. This is old hat for me. And there's the easy card to play on Cody's end of it, which is like, I got to do this. I'm determined. It's been eating away at me for last year. So those are easy. But like for all the other drama that has surrounded this, real drama, and the fact of, okay, that we actually had the company change and call audibles and this and that. Like, again, I feel it all. I feel tension when Seth, Rock, and Cody are all out there. But yeah, it's like to Roman, this is it's kind of inconvenient. Damn, I got to work Saturday and Sunday that weekend.
Well, I'll ask you this. I'll put you on the spot and ask you this. Is this pre-boo-boo face for Roman? And we understand that term in the business, right?
Oh.
Boo-boo face, like, are you? Well, I can tell you're going to lose as soon as you hit the curtain. Like, as soon as you come through the curtain, it's like, oh, you're going to lose. You know,
there's several examples
of that.
That is a real thing. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I would like to believe that Roman is making so much money, has made so much money. If he loses at WrestleMania, which I guess at the moment, I don't think it's a surefire thing. Yeah, I think it's 50-50. I'm leaning towards Cody's going to do it, but I mean, considering the run that Roman's had, it's not a guarantee. I don't think, but I think he's made so much money. He's in the history books. He's eventually going to have a money match with his cousin. I think he's just as a person and a performer, I think he's just top notch professional overall. Yes, we're critiquing how his energy and how his overall came off in this promo, but I don't think I would go to the point of boo boo face. I think everybody's making enough money in this that there's no reason to be boo boo face. I would like to believe that, and I hope I'm true. I hope that's true. I can't.
Yes.
I'd be disappointed otherwise.
I just threw that out there because I'm wondering about that. A perfect example to explain that, what is boo boo face? Off the top of my head, okay, Jonathan Gresham against Claudio Castagnoli for the ROH Championship. So Gresham, I thought, was a fine champion. And Claudio, I think this is his first opportunity for the ROH Championship. You know, I saw from Gresham, I did not see, like, the octopus mask. He didn't have the mask on that he usually comes to ringside with. Didn't have the flag. I think it was just him and his T-shirt. And I go, oh, boo-boo face. Like, uh-huh. He wasn't his usual self. Like, he just had this mean look on his face. Like, and I saw him, I said, yeah, he's going to lose tonight. Because it wasn't the fanfare he usually comes in with that flag he has. You've seen Gresham wrestle and that mask and that aura that he has when he comes to the ring. Like, oh, he's going to twist someone in knots tonight. He's that guy. He's a wrestler's wrestler, who I love. But when I saw him come down to the ringside, I said, yep, he doesn't look happy. That's boo-boo face. He's going to lose tonight.
And that's a great callback, great example. Jonathan Gresham's not. He's not making seven figures.
No,
all four of the guys involved in this Mania Night One main event are seven figure men. So there should be no time for Boobaface.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
CM Punk, there's a name. CM Punk will be coming home to Chicago at the Allstate Arena for Monday Night Raw. Now, it's interesting. We saw a little bit of a glimpse, a little video package of CM Punk trying to rehab, trying to get himself back into wrestling shape. You know, he's got a serious injury again. But, you know, you continue to hear his name only from Drew McIntyre, who is wrestling's greatest heel. Or troll, depending on which way you look at it, right? I mean, this guy here is showing so much personality and character like we've never seen before from Drew McIntyre. But he keeps bringing up CM Punk. I guess there's a reason for it, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating situation. I don't fault WWE. You're in Chicago. I don't fault them if you have CM Punk on your payroll to not want to advertise and have him there. You know, I get it. This is going to be a fascinating situation, though, because Punk's going to appear on Raw. There are several interesting people that I want to see him cross paths with because there's this heat and tension, but yet he's not medically cleared. Nothing can really be done in the way of physicality. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make me thirstier and more, oh my God, I cannot wait for him to come back so we can see the payoffs and the directions they want to go. I don't know if it's going to do that, or I don't know if it's going to somehow further distract me somehow from what's going on at Mania, and that's going to make me look past Mania. I don't know. I'm fascinated by this, how they handled CM Punk on Monday Night Raw this week.
I mean, so it's interesting because Drew McIntyre has done some great work, not only on camera, but also on his social media. We just saw this media masterpiece, a social media masterpiece, working out and trashing CM Punk while Cry Me a River was blasting in the gym, which is a callback to Jungle Boy, Cry Me a River, as you recall from his AEW days. I mean, either you get it or you don't get it. But I mean, that had me rolling. Cry Me a River. You recall this, Justin, right?
I do, and I'm also trying to. This is where it's live. We're live, pal. Mm-hmm. Drew also had an interview in the time of doing media as we build up to Mania, and I cannot find it off the top of my head. But he also had an interview where he's commenting about CM Punk, and he makes a reference to glass, and he says real glass.
What is he doing?
I have to find the exact quote.
Now you know what that is, Justin? Now, some would say that's too inside. Can I just tell you, WWE fans get that as well. Because it's not just, oh, CM Punk's just been off my radar for a while. I don't know where he went. Where's he been? Everyone knows where CM Punk has been before he came to WWE. So it's not necessarily inside joke as much as it is something that needs to be brought out, because there's a majority of wrestling fans, a majority, that know exactly why Drew McIntyre is playing Cry Me a River in the gym, and then the reference to glass also. People know exactly what that is.
The interview was with The Ringer. Mm-hmm. And this is just the back end portion of his comments I'm taking here. Drew says, he's talking about Punk. He came crawling back to sports entertainment. Good for him. Brought a few eyeballs. Got a big payday. I get all that stuff. If you get put in a situation with me, I'm going to verbally tear you apart and physically tear you apart. I want that match with him, but I don't believe he'll be in physical condition to wrestle Drew McIntyre. He's literally made of glass. Real glass. And I'll break him.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I mean, that's a callback to, you know, to Wembley Stadium. The last time we saw CM Punk in the ring in AEW against Samoa Joe, that whole thing. I mean, everybody knew about it. And just for him to say that. And then just to put a cherry on the sundae with this, I did see Drew McIntyre, at least a clip of him on gorilla position, which is a It is a podcast from the UK, Gorilla Position. Mm-hmm. I've seen many clips and I've heard that podcast before. And Drew McIntyre said something that I think was a shoot. I think it was. I mean, it's Drew McIntyre. Everything's a shoot lately, right? He said something along the lines of, you know, last time that CM Punk and I were in WWE, he had no time for me. Right? Like, here's a veteran here, and I'm a young upstart, and CM Punk had no time for me. And he was not very nice to me, and he was not the best locker room guy. And then here's CM Punk returning to WWE, and he said it's not like CM Punk apologized for his behavior. He didn't go around the locker room saying, hey, you know, I might have been an asshole first time around, but I was hurting, and I was mad at Vince, and I was mad at creative, and so I apologize. And Drew said, you think that CM Punk did that on the second time around? He did not. And so he said that he says karma is a bitch. You know, quote unquote, I injured him at the Royal Rumble. And so that's what he said. Now, I don't know how much of that is a shoot. I don't know how much of that is storyline. But the point is, though, is that Drew said it. And lately, when Drew says something, it seems like there is some truth in everything that he says.
I mean, what percentage chance do you give it, Jay Hood, that we leave Monday Night Raw tomorrow with CM Punk having somehow become special guest referee for Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins? Two guys who he has obviously issues with on both ends. What? That's a way to have Punk involved in Mania. But I mean, I guess as long as he has one good arm that can count three, that's, you know, I don't know. I'm racking my brain trying to think, what are they trying to accomplish aside from just trotting him out there in front of all you Chicagoans?
We're Chicagoans, yes.
Besides trotting you out there to wave the flag in front of all the Chicagoans, what else are we accomplishing here? I mean, we're 2 weeks out from WrestleMania, so every bit of TV time on Raw or SmackDown is significant real estate. It's got to have some effect to Mania, I would think. So I'm curious.
You would think that he'd be involved in one way, shape, or form. I just want to know how the wing is. I mean, he's got to get down and make that count. He can't be Bronco Lubitsch and count with his foot. He can't do that or get down to one knee. You got to get in there. I want him sliding around in there, you know, like little Nate. That's what I want. Charles Robinson.
Who?
That's what I want.
Bronco who?
Bronco Lubitsch.
Why do I not know their name? Who's that?
Look him up. World class. He was the number one referee of world class wrestling. He was a former wrestler in his own right, and he was an old man trying to count with his foot because he couldn't get down there. As a matter of fact, if you saw the Iron Claw, I mean, they didn't feature Bronco Lubitsch, but there was probably an old official there in some of those matches in the movie The Iron Claw, Bronco Lubitsch. So what I'm telling you is that if he can't get down, he's got a busted wing. If he can't get down there, then I can see possibly CM Punk interfering in the matchup with Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, possibly. So how about this? We'll put this on the poll, Susumu, at Busted Open Radio. Let's do this. So when we think about CM Punk being there, who's going to interrupt him first? He's going to have a promo. It's going to be unbelievable. Probably just start off Raw, quite frankly. I mean, that's the way you start off. I mean, the way that we handle it in Chicago when CM Punk comes out, it is just amazing. Like the crowd in Chicago is going to be all over CM Punk, happy to see him. The majority of the fans love him there. And so he's going to get interrupted at some point. Who's going to interrupt him first? Is it going to be Drew McIntyre? Is it going to be Seth Rollins? Is it going to be Cody Rhodes? You know, what I'm interested in is the number two in that list. Like, I think McIntyre probably is the odds-on favorite. But what about Seth Rollins?
Doesn't the man have enough going on? enough? Come on.
I want to know. Let's ask this. Let's put it on the poll. Who's going to interrupt? Because I'm actually interested in second, because McIntyre can't wait to get out there to go after CM Punk. But could Seth Rollins have something to say? Now you got a Bears fan, a Chicago Bears fan, and Seth Rollins. And Chicago loves Seth Rollins, too, even though he's from Iowa. They love him because he's this ardent number one Bears fan in all of pro wrestling. And so that'll be interesting, too, if he comes out there for that segment.
Yeah, and there's gonna be such that talk about energy. Talk about like everybody on their feet. Again, don't think you can see anything physically happen to Punk, but just what's gonna be said, what's gonna lay whatever groundwork for whatever's in the future. You know, and if he can't be referee, maybe he's the host of WrestleMania, and that's how it gets him at Mania, and that's how it gets him potentially roundabouts of ringside if need be for. I mean, because if he's host, you kick off Mania. I think Seth versus Drew should kick off night two. That should be the very first match of night two of Mania. You got to put it as far away from the other world title match that's going to end night two. So, CM Punk could kick off night two and could basically segue right into the introductions of Drew and Seth.
So it sounds like you want a quick match between Seth and Drew. You want that? Was it Sheamus, Bryan
Daniel
Daniels,
Bryan.
Daniel Bryan? Is that what you want? Because that's what it sounds like. Sounds like
Well,
you're
but
booking. You're booking Seth Rollins to lose night one, injured, bad wheel, and he starts off his heavyweight championship matchup night two, 1, 2, 3, 3 minute squash. That's what it sounds like.
well, 3 minutes is 2 minutes and 45 seconds more than that Sheamus Bryan got, I believe. That thing was like quick, quick, quick.
That's right.
But no, I no, but I am. I kind of think. He's going to go through hell night one, and then yeah, he has the quickest, time window between being the last match of night one and then the first match of night two. And yeah, I don't think it's necessarily has to be a very long match. I think it would lend to this killer instinct that Drew has right now, just to go after whatever injured body part they want and make quick work of it.
Now, I'll say this. For those that feel like Seth needs to retain the championship, because all of a sudden now that knee's better, or he's medically cleared, quote unquote, there is a way to help Seth retain, and that's CM Punk interfering in that match. But here's the thing, though, just like almost an AEW angle. Okay, so if CM Punk helps Seth retain, what is Drew gonna do? Drew can't go after an injured CM Punk.
Right.
That's something
that's
AEW would do, which we've seen this before, right?
yes we have yes we have that's
Right.
that's what, that's what I mean, this is so fascinating because you have such an interesting scenario situation with this. Like, you would think, okay, Punk's he's injured for however long, we're just gonna like out of sight, out of mind, we're not gonna talk about him because we can't, again, you can't do, but like, no, Drew, it's just there's not a week that goes by that Drew doesn't make a reference either on TV or on social or both to CM Punk. So it's like, well, I mean, there's got to be a plan. I can't imagine we're all just doing this rogue. There has to be some kind of plan here. And no, I can't see Rollins retaining. I mean, unless they absolutely know we are not re-signing Drew, or they haven't, like, unless there's some absolute contractual stalemate, I don't see how. I mean, it's time for Seth to drop it. Both probably for his own personal health and time to take rest. And just because it's been a hell of a run, but I think we need a somebody fresh holding that title.
Susumu, do you have some thoughts on this? Because CM Punk is coming back to Chicago. It's going to be rabid. I was there, by the way, when he made his first appearance at AEW at the United Center. I've been to Bulls games. I've been to Blackhawks games in that building. I've never heard anything quite like that. The sustained roar for CM Punk when he's at the United Center was just amazing. And by the way, it was wrestling's worst kept secret. Everyone knew he was coming, and people came to the arena anyway. Sold out, 18, 19,000 people there. They probably could have had more people to be in that arena that night. But I was sitting next to a couple of guys, grown men crying when CM Punk came out. That was just an amazing, amazing time. But what do you think? Punk coming back to Chicago on Raw.
What's the more likely scenario that could happen is knowing Drew McIntyre's how he's gone about really just continuing to needle at Punk and pull something that Punk has pulled in his past, where you hear Cult of Personality play in Chicago. Of course, it'll get everyone going. Everyone's just gonna be chanting CM Punk, and then the first guy that pops out, Drew McIntyre. He pops out, does exactly the same thing that CM Punk did to MJF in Long Island the first time back almost 3 years ago. And knowing that Drew has continuously mentioned stuff that happened in AEW, this would absolutely not shock me if it happened to first thing tomorrow on Raw.
With Punk in the building. Where's Punk while this is happening? He just watching on a monitor? Because I know that he'd be pissed. Right, exactly. And then all of Punk's homies from the north side starts coming out there and start pummeling Drew McIntyre. Watch the rails. Watch it. Watch the rails in Chicago, man. We don't play that shit. Not with our guy. Not with CM Punk.
The CM Punk fandom is something to behold. You know, I know obviously you're describing having been, it is something. The fandom that he has, and the fact that, you know, even the fact that for as long as he disappeared from the business, and he has not lost. He has not lost his bandwagon never got light. Always a lot of people in that bandwagon.
You know what? You know, Justin, it's almost like with Susumu's idea, which is so WWE, by the way. That's exactly where I could see this going. It's almost like we should do like a Punk bingo, right? Do you think that we'll hear the name Ace Steel on Raw tomorrow night? Well, you think we'll hear a Jungle Boy? Like, just do a bingo, like a list of things, right? You hear Ace Steel. Bingo! I got it. Ace Steel, he said it. Like, Drew McIntyre. Like, how deep in the arsenal could he go on CM Punk in his own hometown?
All right, if we're adding bingo squares, we have to add Colt Cabana reference.
Deep.
I mean, he just did it with that interview that I just quoted. We mentioned Glass.
That's what you're getting in the audience. Like, oh, if there was a Colt Cabana reference.
Some variation to Bucks or Youth.
Muffins. Muffins.
Press conferences. Have Punk host the Mania press conference. There it is.
Oh, my God.
Have him host the Mania press conference.
Oh,
that's,
my God.
That's how you get him involved.
I mean, seriously. I mean, if they want to go there, and if there's ever a time to go to have some deep cuts, the WWE audience will not be confused. They won't. The wife won't turn to the husband and say, I don't get it. What? What is it? What's the whole thing with the Muppet? Like, everyone will be in on it. Everyone will understand. Because of Chicago, we followed Punk from the Indies, the Chicago Indies, to where he is right now. So we know exactly, people know who he is and what that is. So that would be amazing.
If they have him host Mania, the premium live event portion absolutely would be appropriate then for him to then go and... All right, we got Paul Levesque here. Denise Salcedo, we got a question in front. just let him host the press conference. Nobody wants Byron Saxton doing this. We want Punk doing it.
I think that would be a really funny callback. I think that would be. Just the idea that he's there hosting the press conference. Mr. Press Conference, CM Punk.
Talk is Jericho podcast with multiple world champion professional wrestler, lead singer of Fozzy, and New York Times best-selling author, Chris Jericho, is now on Fight Nation. Don't miss Jericho interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, entertainment, and comedy. Plus, give all of his takes on what's going on in the world of pop culture. Catch the Talk is Jericho podcast every Tuesday and Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. On your home for combat sports, SiriusXM, Fight Nation, Channel 156.
So Jimmy has accepted Jay's challenge to fight at WrestleMania. That back and forth was pretty solid between the Usos, wasn't it?
It was very solid, and it was needed because there's a lot of great history here, you know, within this blood. Well, obviously the Usos just being on WWE television, you know, for the last, you know, almost 20 years. I mean, they're like some of the longest tenured acts. But there's been a lot of history within the Bloodline storyline the last couple of years. That promo was needed, Jay Hood, because I feel like this match probably should have happened already. I feel like when things were at its spiciest between Jay being on the opposite side of the aisle from the Bloodline and all that, I feel like there was a time where things were hotter and more. It would have been more appropriate to have Uso versus Uso, but they obviously held it off because they wanted to give it that Mania stage. And I understand that, but that promo was needed. That exchange was needed to remind everybody of the emotion and remind everybody what's at stake here with this battle.
Okay. So when it comes to matches like this, like any match, you're trying to suspend your belief, your disbelief, I guess. And I'm just asking, like, is this match for you believable? Uso versus Uso, everything that they've gone through, Justin, I look at this match and I think, okay, I think it's going to be a good match. There's no question. But is it believable? Because to me, I still need heat in many matches that I watch. And I'm just wondering whether or not it comes across as believable. Do they seem like they still respect each other, but they just have to have this match? I guess that's the story, right? It's not like they hate one another. There's no real heat. You could choose one Uso over the other. We know the main event, Jey Uso, is the babyface because he gets the crowd going. He's one of the top babyfaces in the company, so he's accomplished that. But I guess, Yeet, when it comes to this matchup, I'm just wondering, like, how believable is it that if you feel like Jimmy has heat on him, like you feel like he's the bad guy in this? Do you understand what I'm asking? I'm like,
no, I do. And again,
do you feel heat? Does it feel real to you regarding like this match? Boy, it's going to be Jimmy's the heel here, and he's going to try to take out Jey Uso. Like, I don't know if I feel that yet.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. It would have came across. This match should have been done 6 months ago. You know, it should have been earlier where there was more heat on Jimmy Uso. So I agree with you. I would like to see in these next 2 weeks some heel stuff from Jimmy. I want to see, like, let's rev that back up. But I think the story here, whether there's a level of heat, no matter the temperature of Jimmy's heat going into this, I think the match and the story that they're expecting everybody to be able to understand here is these are two identical twin brothers. They have been together every minute of their lives, and we've never seen them in a one-on-one match ever. And so I think it's like one of these things of, all right, we've had 36, 37, however old they are, years. I'm finally going to show you and the world who's the better one. I mean, I think the story is just who's the better brother. Now, I'm an only child. So I never had a brother growing up, so I can't directly relate to it. I don't know about you, Jay Hood, but I would assume that that's a very common thing of you want to show your brother who shares the same profession as you and shared the same career path. You want to show him and the world that you're the better one. And I mean, I think that's the low hanging fruit, easy story right there. But I do agree. Let's get some reminder clearly of who is the good guy, who is the bad guy, not just based upon who's got the crowd bouncing up and down and who doesn't. Let's get some dirty tactics here in the next 2 weeks as we build from Jimmy Uso.
So there's examples of this. First of all, I think that which you just nailed it. You just need, as usual, you nailed it. A lot of these sibling rivalry matches is based on who's better, who's best, versus major heat on one or the other. Perfect example, we got the Hardys at Backlash in 2009. The Hardys fought one another. You recall this, right? I mean, there's a lot of wrestling, but Backlash 2009, two high flyers going after one another. They wrestled each other. The most famous one is Owen versus Brett. And that was some convincing. We heard that story behind the scenes where Vince did not want to do that at all. It's like, brothers don't fight? Goddamn. No, and they were like, yeah, brothers actually do fight. Like, yeah, maybe you didn't fight your brother, Vince. But the point is, though, brothers do fight. And you got to figure out who has the supremacy over the other. You know, whether it's just over the TV remote or in the backyard. Brothers do fight. And so Owen versus Brett was... You know, Brett was a good guy, and Owen was a heel, but I think people were just surprised that Owen was able to come out on top over Brett, and I think that that was kind of like more or less who's a better brother versus Owen is this red-hot heel versus a white meat baby face in that regard.
Well, and that was a fantastic match, WrestleMania 10. One tremendous opening match.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also more of a situation of you went into it, and clearly Brett was the established star. Brett had already... Brett was a Sabbath star. That was trying to bringing Owen up to a new level, you know. So that there was a certain dynamic there at play. You know, I go into this. I don't look at do you rank one Uso over the other to be definitively better?
No.
I think a key here with the Usos that I haven't really heard anybody touch on that of possibility. Whether it's in the build or whether it's in the execution of what we have at WrestleMania, is Solo.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't share the same stage name. He doesn't share the Uso name, but in the real family tree, he is the younger brother to these two.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Bloodline storyline is going to continue on, if more chapters, if more branches are going to continue to spawn out with this, I think this would be a tremendous situation and opportunity to have Solo involved one way or the other. And maybe it's the first time we really hear him speak.
That would help. because right now he is Samoan Taz. That's right, pretty much. He's got a towel over his head. I mean, that's what he is. Like, he can suplex the hell out of people. He's a powerful guy. And I think that he is an up-and-coming star in the company, there's no doubt. So Owen versus Brett, we covered the Hardys at Backlash 2009. The Usos are going to wrestle. Dustin versus Cody, Double or Nothing 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. That's another match that fits your criteria, saying, like, there's no major heat. It's just, like, brother versus brother. Dustin versus Cody was awesome in Double or Nothing 2019 for AEW. I had to go back and watch that match yesterday just to refresh me. Like, that was a hell of a match between those two.
It was a great match. That's honestly, and I know there's a lot to choose from in their young career. I'm speaking of young career AEW company. Mm-hmm. That match is one of the best AEW matches. That Dustin versus Cody from 2019.
The Briscoes.
Did Nikki and Brie? Did they ever have a one-on-one match?
They did.
Yeah, because what's interesting is, again, Uso versus you have identical twins going up against each other. I mean, that's just from a visual standpoint, that's just such a rarity to see that. They're not blood brothers, and Michael Cole didn't include them in his facts on commentary. But if you're talking about Mania and brothers, you can't ignore the Mania 14, Kane and Undertaker. And the mythical story there.
It was Briscoe's dad that got the Briscoes. It's like, okay, you got to sell this. Jay and Mark, they actually wrestled each other. Actually, not wrestled. They fought each other, those two. You know, good match. So, you know, it's I always think about this in the terms of, like, when a tag team splits up. Mm-hmm. Babyface tag team splits up. Like Terry Taylor and Chris Adams, like, for instance. And like, Terry Taylor turns heel on Chris Adams. Or maybe it was vice versa. But the point is, like, two white meat babyface, and all of a sudden they just turn. We saw this with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. We saw this with Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express, where Ricky would turn heel on Robert. Only problem is it was Robert Gibson on the other side. Like, it was good that Ricky was a heel, but it's just like, it's Robert, and Robert was a babyface, yes, but not on the same level as Ricky was. And so it's interesting when you have matches like this, because I think Jay and Jimmy can tear the house down, there's no doubt. But I think what you said, talking about Solo Sikoa and how he could be part of this, there's something there. He's going to interfere in this match. He's going to have something to say about this at the end. At least that's the hope.
That's the hope. And the other aspect to this is that, you know, again, we don't know. I don't think we know for this match of Jimmy versus Jay. We don't know which night it's going to be. And what happens in this match also then makes you wonder, okay, if the main event of night two does become Bloodline Rules, what, if any, does what happens in this match affect their involvement and appearance in that main event?
And then, which side is Solo really on? Is he still on Jimmy's side, or is there maybe no side? Is he going to go to Jey Uso's side? Because he's in the middle of all this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Jimmy versus Jay, but Solo has something to say. I'm sure he'll have something to say about it. So which side is he on? Is he helping Jimmy win that match against Jay? I don't know.
That's what I mean. Whose side is Solo on?
Yeah.
If it's a hard-fought match and the finish comes, what then? Does the finish happen and there's just more heat and there's more reason for Jay to come want to find Jimmy? Does the match end? Do the brothers hug and embrace? And then all of a sudden, Roman's looking at Jimmy like, "What the hell are you doing?" Like, I mean, like I said, I think there would have been more heat immediately on this match had they done it at an earlier time. Had they done it in the past, but I can understand holding it for the backdrop of Mania because it's WrestleMania, and because WrestleMania two nights is a huge, you know, confluence of just Bloodline stories. You know, so I understand adding one more story to what's going to be a very chaotic and dramatic two nights.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.